Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Good to be in church today, amen. The weather tried to keep us away, but thank God Erica is no more, right? I just saw on the news that Fred's out there. So now we need to... Let me come up with these names. Fred. Remember Wilma? Years ago, we had Wilma. Now Fred is forming out there. So we say no in Jesus' name, right? I don't think it's a coincidence. These storms usually are coming on a Sunday, right? Right? That's just the enemy. And so we just stand against that. And thank God for good weather today, that everybody's kept safe with the rain, all that kind of stuff. Thank God we're not going to melt, right? Well, I don't know. There might be somebody sweet enough in here to melt, but I don't know you. I don't know you. please, please. People are raising their hand. I'm like, please. Well, it's good to be back. I was over in Naples on Wednesday. Had a great time over there. Pastor Paul and Maria Fosline, who are kind of our bosses in a way. They are the district directors over Rhema Ministers, and so they're on vacation over in Ireland. Doesn't that sound fun? And so I got to go over there and preach. It was great. And I'll tell you, I had a hard time getting to the church. It's just the enemy trying to disrupt the service. It was raining so hard right before service, just sheets of rain coming down, the wind blowing. You know that kind of rain where an umbrella is just not going to do anything? One of those. And I saw somebody taking my picture. So I might be on YouTube somewhere. So if you see me, please delete it. And what happened was I had to get from the hotel to my car, and then I had to go preach. And so I didn't want to get like crazy soaking wet. And I'm waiting and waiting to the last minute before I have to leave. And I'm thinking, you know, my hair, hello. I got to go stand in front of all these people. And so then it never stopped raining, and so I went and asked the lady at the desk. I said, "Do you have a plastic bag?" And she said, "How big?" And I was like, "This big." And she said, "I think I do." And so she gave me an obviously very large bag, and I poked a hole in the top of it, put it over me, had my hair all up in a bun on the top of my head, which that's a sight just in itself. And then I made a run for the car, and I saw somebody like this. I was like, a giant trash bag going across parking lot, you know? So if you see it, please delete it. Don't show it to me. I don't think I could recover. But anyway, it was great over there. I had a great time. Naples Church sends their love to us, and we're thankful for all their support that they've given us over the last few years. And we shared this before, but just a reminder, they've helped us. They paid for the church to be painted. And they paid for all the paint that we had to purchase. It was about $2,000, and they paid for that. What a blessing, right? And so we're very thankful for that. They've sown into us. And so it was a real pleasure to be over there ministering and sowing into them, right? But it's good to be home. And we started a series last week called Fresh Air. How many did your homework this week? Somebody like, what? You know, nothing has changed. You did that in high school, too. And how you'd be like, what homework? What? We had homework, right? Fall in love with Jesus this week. Just remind yourself just how good God is, how much he loves you, what he's done for you. Sometimes we can be saved so long we forget just how good God is. Amen? And so I hope you did your homework this week. And I was talking to Andrea between services, and we were just talking about just singing love songs to Jesus. And I know that sounds funny, but, you know, just in your car, just turn the radio off and just sing. It doesn't matter how well you sing or how not so well you sing, right? Just sing to the Lord. Tell him how much you love him and who he is to you and what he's done for you. And it's just, it will do something for you. Amen? And so I saw a lot of head shaking. A lot of people did their homework. Good job. Look at your neighbor and say, good job. Now look at the neighbor you don't like as much and tell them, good job too. The other one. And so today we're going to keep going. So last week, just to remind you, we learned that the doldrums, is the actual place. It's a real place. It's a place where the oceans come together, and it's a place where there's no wind for the sails of ships. And so we don't really have that problem anymore because now most ships and boats have motors, right? But in that time, to get stuck in the doldrums meant that you were really stuck. Your ship wasn't going anywhere because there was no wind for your sail. And so when we look at that in our lives, we may not be out sailing, but in our own lives, we can get stuck in a place where it doesn't feel like anything is moving. Nothing's going anywhere. We feel stuck. And what we need is fresh air. What we need is the wind of the Spirit to come and blow through some things. I don't know about you, but if you've been married any length of time, there's time in your marriage where your marriage can be in the doldrums. Where it just doesn't mean you don't love each other. Doesn't mean you don't care for each other. It just means that you need some fresh air to blow through. You know, there can be times in your job when you need fresh air to blow through. There can be times in every area of our life where we just need the Spirit of God, right? And so today I want to talk to you about a place that we can get stuck into, and the Bible talks about it in the end times. And I don't know about you, but I believe we are in the end times. And I always say this, whether we're in the end times, you are in your end times. Amen. This is the last August 30th, 2015, you're going to see. Last one, right? And so we gotta be conscious that this is my life. You only get one. And one day we're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to want to know what you did with it.
Amen.
And so these are my last days. And so, but I do believe we're living in the time where Jesus will be returning probably soon. You say, well, how soon is that? I have no idea. I have no idea. But boy, when you watch the news, you think it's going to be tomorrow, right? You watch the news, you think it's going to be tomorrow. And the Bible talks to us over here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. This is our number one scripture for this whole series that we're doing on fresh air. And in Deuteronomy 30, 19, you can follow along on your Bible app if you want, or you can read it up here. It says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he says, now choose life. And another, some translations go on and say, now choose life so that you and your descendants may live. I said this last week, and I believe this so strong in my spirit. If you are a parent in here, your children need you to get this message. They need you to get it, because just like we talked about last week, every day we come to a moment of choice where we choose life or we choose death, or we choose God's way or we choose the flesh or our way. And so every day we come to that choice. We talked last week about how we can get so caught up in what we can do in our own strength that we don't turn to what God can do and what God wants to do through us. You know, God can do more in one snap of his fingers than we can do in our entire lifetime. Amen. And we need to be sure that we are choosing life. We are choosing God's way. And so we come up to that choice every day where we have a moment where there's trouble going on. There's problems in our life. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
You got something going on where we can choose our way. We can choose flesh or what I can do by myself. We can choose those tasks. We can choose to work on it without God. I said this last week, and it just by the Spirit of God, tasks will not heal you. A to-do list all checked off is not going to heal you. It's not going to do for you what the power of God can do for you. But we as people, sometimes when, for lack of a better way to say it, where all hell is breaking loose in our life, and because we want to focus on what we can do, you know, us ladies, we can be like, I got to get the laundry done. I got to clean this house. I mean, your marriage is falling apart, and you're busy cleaning the house. It's like, that's not gonna, you're going to have a clean house, and that's good. But if you think that's going to solve your problem,
come on,
that problem's going to be there whether the house is clean or dirty. It's still going to be there. But what we want to do is when trouble comes, there's a part of us that just starts working, just starts putting our hand to something And that's not choosing life. We need to do stuff. How many know you got to do the laundry, right? Yeah. Got to do it.
Yeah.
Or you got to pay somebody to do it, one of the two, right? You know, there's stuff we got to do, but we can't do those tasks separate from God. We need God's life. We need his fresh air to come into our life. We need the Spirit of God to come in because he can do more than we'll ever be able to do. And so we have that choice to make. And then today I want to talk to you about what the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy. It talks a lot about in the last days, in the end times. There are going to be things that we can see. And so turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. It says here, it says, but mark this. It says, listen, pay attention to this, know this. That's what that means. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. How many say I saw that on the news? Right? There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. How many say I can see that? Right? I mean, that's like, I saw that on CNN this week, right? But the thing that we want to look here is we want to make sure that these attitudes, because in the last part of that, there's some attitude things. Ungrateful, that's an attitude. Unholy, without love, we could say unloving or unforgiving. These are attitudes, and we got to be careful that these last days attitudes don't sneak in to our lives. Because here's the thing, when I was praying over this message, and I want to talk to you about the power of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and what he wants to do. But here's the thing, no matter how powerful the power of God is, if your attitude stinks, it's going to stink. God cannot, because what did he say? He goes, I've called heaven and earth as witnesses against you. You choose. You choose life or death. You choose your attitude. And so when I was praying about this, the Lord reminded me, remember the children of Israel? How many remember those guys?
Yeah.
Right? The children of Israel, for those of you who don't know, they were the Jews, and they were held in captivity. They were slaves. They were slaves to Pharaoh, and they're the ones that built the pyramids and stuff. And so they're slaves, and God brings them out of slavery supernaturally. They come to the right. Moses leads them out. How many saw the movie?
Yeah.
Let my people go, right? You saw the movie? And so Moses brings them out. They come to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is coming behind them, and they're out to kill him. Now, they come out of slavery with wealth and riches. How many know that's supernatural right there?
Yeah.
They come out of that. They come to the Red Sea. It parts. Some of you are like, did that really happen? That really happened. You know, Pastor Scott likes the History Channel. I call it the Snooze Channel, right? But every once in a while, he'll be watching something, and I'll be like, what are you watching? It's interesting. You know, they showed a show on the History Channel not very long ago where you know what they found at the bottom of the Red Sea? Chariots. Guess who they belong to? Pharaoh's army. They found those. Listen, the more history discovers, the more it proves the Bible.
Amen.
The more science is evolved, the more it proves the Bible. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Find out for yourself.
Amen.
Right? So anyway, so that's a miracle. The Red Sea parts. The children of Israel go across on dry land. And then when Pharaoh's army comes, the Red Sea goes back. They all drown. Just supernatural. Then they get out into the desert. Their clothes never wear out. Isn't that amazing? Their shoes never wear out. They have a pillar of fire that leads them. They have water that comes from a rock. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Right? And then they're fed every day manna, which they weren't real thrilled about that. But still, they're getting fed every single day. Dinner, breakfast, lunch, and dinner drops out of the sky. How many would say that's pretty supernatural? Even in all of that, seeing the faithfulness of God, the hand of God, the power of God, the supernatural power of God, do you know what many of them still had? Bad attitude. Many of them still complained. with all of that. And so the reason I want to talk to you about attitude is because no matter how powerful God is, no matter how much provision he has for you, no matter what promised land is waiting ahead of you, if your attitude stinks, you are not going to get there.
Amen.
That's just the truth.
Come on, preach. Speak the truth.
We can see that through, and it was even Moses' own sister was a big complainer and leading everybody to complain. And if you don't know what happened to them, you should read it and find out. A little homework for you. But the thing is that we've got to check our attitude, because the Bible says in the end times that these uns, I call them the uns, are going to be ungrateful, unloving, unforgiving, unholy. They're going to come in, it's going to come in even greater than it is now. As the dark gets darker, the light is supposed to get brighter.
Amen.
So we got to be sure that we don't let those bad end time attitudes sneak into our lives. You know, when it says ungrateful, we are some of the most ungrateful people to ever walk the planet. Seriously. I was reading this book. It wasn't a Christian book. It was just a book I found interesting. And it was all about the progress of America and how the more progress we have, the more things we have to make our lives easier, the more advancement we have in science, the more provision we have, the more miserable we become. Isn't that the truth? And the thing is, because the book talked about that people as a whole, that we can fall into a trap that the more we have, the more we expect, and the more we expect, the less thankful we are for what we have. And it's so true. And so the Bible says in the end times that people are going to be more ungrateful than ever before. And so we got to be careful. Let's not let that sneak into us. And then the next one it says here is unholy. Unholy. You better wake up for this one.
Wake up.
The word holy means separated, set apart. There has got to be part of your life that is set apart. But the world, and I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you get to the promised land that God has for you. Amen? I'm here to help you live the life that Jesus has called you to live. And one day I'm going to stand before God, and you know what he's going to want to know? Did you do what I told you to do?
Amen.
Did you tell people what they wanted to hear, or did you tell people what they needed to hear?
Amen.
I've got to answer for that. And so when the Bible says unholy, you know, we think like, oh, we got to be holy. We got to sit in a room and be like, you know. That's not what it means. It means set apart.
Yes.
Set apart. There's got to be something that is just not in your life. You are set apart from that. You are holy.
Yes.
But I tell you, the more time progresses, the closer we get to Jesus returning, the more the church is becoming unholy. Now, I was thinking, you know, when you've been in church a long time, I was thinking the other day about stuff that people in the church are so okay with now that 10 years ago, we would have been like, are you kidding me? Right? But now we're just like, oh, you know, we can't judge. We got to be loving. We got to be kind. And that's true. We do got to be loving. We do got to be kind. And I'm not supposed to judge you. You're not supposed to judge me. But I'm supposed to judge me.
Right.
The Bible says judge yourself. And so when it says unholy, we can see that. And I'm not judging other churches or anything like that. It's the end times. There are some things you can't pray out. It's part of the end times. And part of that is that the world will become more and more unholy, where everything is okay. And the truth of the matter is, everything is not okay. It's not okay. God puts boundaries and guidelines and instructions in our lives to keep us from harm and destruction and hurt and brokenness and abuse. That's what those guidelines are for. They're not to keep you from having fun. They're to make your life more fun. More fun. And so that unholiness, we got to be careful. We got to say, you know, I don't want to fall into that end time trap. The next one is unloving or without love. Not loving people. You know, we've seen just in this last week on the news, we've seen just such a disregard for human life. Haven't we? I mean, just where human life is just not as valuable as it needs to be. And that unloving attitude where we're seeing things now that years ago would have just horrified us. And now we're just like, well, that's another day in the news. That's another day. But you know, you and I are called, we are the remnant, the Bible says. We are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. That's who I am. And you know, the Bible says when salt loses its flavor, it's no longer any good. And these attitudes will cause us as the salt of the earth to lose our saltiness. We need to stay salty. Because here's what salt does. Anybody know? It preserves. It preserves. We're here to preserve the way of God, the message of God. That's what we're here for. And so when we let our attitudes become just like everybody else, then we're going to lose our saltiness. We're going to fall into that end time trap. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be unloving. Let's value life. Amen. Let's value all life. Because no matter where somebody lives, no matter what color they are, no matter what country they live in, no matter how much money they have or don't have, or no matter what, if they are a human being, their value is the same as yours. Their value is the blood of Jesus. And we need to value life. But it's so easy to get callous, isn't it? It's easy to get just where we're just like, you know, it's just the news, it's just something. That's a life. You know, last Sunday, where I live off of Mount Luca. Don't stalk me. I live off Mount Luca. And I was going to the store because, you know, there's people coming over to celebrate a birthday and stuff. And so I was going, and I pulled out to the end of my street to Mount Luca. And my neighbor was standing there, and there was an accident down the street. And it was on the news. Maybe you saw it. And my neighbor was there. I was like, hey, what happened? He said, I don't know. He goes, I heard it at my house. And he goes, they've had the road closed for a while. And, you know, I went, I did the things I need to do, and I pray when I saw it. I always pray when I see an ambulance. I always speak life. You say, well, you don't know that person. I don't know them, but God knows them.
That's right.
You know, and I always pray, Lord, if they're dying, then send an angel.
Right.
Send a laborer to remind them one more time about the gospel. Amen. Because we serve a last chance God. Amen. And so anyway, I went and did what I had to do, and I came back, and it turned out someone lost their life there. And I tell you, it just stuck with me. Because I watched on the news, and I didn't know. I have no idea who it is. But he was a husband. He left a wife and a teenage daughter. And every time I drive down that road every day now, and every day I get to that place, and I just think, man, somebody lost their life. He's never going to walk his daughter down the aisle. He's not going to see her graduate. He'll never see his grandchildren. And let's not get so callous where it's like, oh, it was an accident. Let's always remember that it's a life. The world needs people to be loving because the world is callous and jaded. And the world is hopeless. But you and I, we are filled with hope. Because the hope of glory lives
Amen.
On the inside of
Come
us.
On.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
So let's not be like everybody else. Let's remember the value of life. Amen? And then the last one there is unforgiving. Let's be the example of how to forgive. If you say, well, I can't. If you say you cannot forgive, you are uninformed about what forgiveness is. And that's just the truth. And I've taught many messages on what forgiveness is. But here's what unforgiveness is. Unforgiveness is like putting a brick wall all around you and on your head and putting yourself in bondage. That's what unforgiveness is. Whether you need to forgive others, or even recently a friend reminded me of how hard it is to forgive yourself. But you must forgive. You must forgive. People need to know that there is hope after wrong. They need to know that there is hope after a screw up. They need to know that there is hope for them. And we show that when we're forgiving. And so the Bible tells us in the last days that we're going to see all these things. We're going to see people who are lovers of themselves. And people who are very, very selfish. That's what that means. Selfish people. How many say I met one? Right? We've all met one. Lovers of money. It's okay to like money, but you can't love money.
Come on.
It can't be so important to you. It's more important to you than anything else. It says lovers of money, boastful and proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Hello. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, and unforgiving. And so in John chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. This is Jesus talking. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Listen, you'll never have a full life if you are ungrateful, unholy, unloving, and unforgiving.
That's right.
You'll never have a full life. And when we look at that, we think, well, how do I bust out of the bad attitude? Because the power of God is here. The Word of God is here. The supernatural power of God is here. But a bad attitude can still sneak in and suck the life out of you. Anybody ever have somebody you work with? Nobody here on the front row, of course. Anybody here have somebody you work with and they got a bad attitude? I mean, what does it do? It just sucks the life out of everybody in the office, right? And so we got to make sure that we don't fall for that. So here's a couple of good scriptures for you. Proverbs 17:22. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine.
Yes.
Cheerful heart. Every day we make a choice. Just like Deuteronomy 30:19 says, it's a choice. I choose my attitude. I choose it. I tell you, one of the greatest lessons my dad ever taught me was that I choose my attitude. Because in our house, growing up, there were 7 kids. You were not allowed to pout. And you were not allowed to be in a bad mood. It was not allowed. And if you would come out of your room in the morning for breakfast or whatever, and if you were a grump, if you were grumpy and you just walked out and sat down and didn't say anything to anybody, you know what my dad would do? He would say, get up, go back to your room, and come out when you are pleasant to be around. And you know what we do? We get up, we go back to our room, stand there and be like, Dad, you know, whatever, you know, maybe kick the pillow or something. Never let him see you do it, right? You know, that just caused more trouble. And then we go back out and be like, good morning, you know, all the time. You say, well, you were faking. Here's the thing. Choosing a good attitude will catch.
Yes.
It will catch. It will catch. But you gotta take the bait. You gotta hook it first.
Yeah.
You have to do that. And we have to learn. Parents, one of the best things you can teach your kid is you learn, you teach them, you choose your attitude. You choose it. You don't let other people do it. You don't let what's happening. Ben taught on Wednesday night, a couple Wednesdays ago. He said, you don't let what's happening choose what's going on the inside of you.
Amen.
Joy doesn't come from the outside. Joy comes from the inside. And so we choose that attitude. And so we need to choose to have that good attitude. We can't say, well, I need more God. No, the children of Israel had all kind of God, and they still had a bad attitude. You got all kind of God. I got all kind of God. We got the Word of God, the Spirit of God. We got people praying for us. We've got everything we need, but we can still have a stinking attitude. Say, well, you don't know what? No, I know the Word. I know the Word, and I know it works. And then another scripture here is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I heard a pastor say this. I didn't make it up, but I thought it was so funny. I want to share it with you. He said, some people have so little joy, and so that means they have so little strength. They are so weak, they could get mugged by a butterfly. I personally thought that was very funny. And so we've got to have that joy. We've got to have that. And so how do I have it? Here's a couple things. Number one, you got to make the choice every day. Every day. How many of you have ever had a good day and then you've had a bad attitude day? We got to make the choice every day, because every day the enemy is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Every day. So every day we got to do Hebrews 12:1. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Every day we got to throw off offense. Every day we got to throw off somebody just making us mad. Every day we got to throw off the blahs. Anybody just wake up and you just feel like you got the blahs? Where you're just like, I'd really rather just sleep all day. I really don't want to talk to you. I just want to sit on my couch, pet my dog, and watch TV. Anybody else have those days every once in a while? Listen, you can't let that day have its way. You got to throw that off. And then if you choose to sit on your couch and pet your dog all day, that's one thing. But don't do it because you feel like you can't do anything else. That's the difference. We got to throw that off. We got to throw off those bad attitudes. And then Psalms 19:14 says this. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, one thing that will help you keep your attitude in check, keep your thought life in check, is to remind yourself that God sees your thoughts. God sees everything. And so David's saying here, he says, may the words of my mouth, that's what I'm saying, and the meditation of my heart, that's what I'm thinking. He said, let it be pleasing to you. Here's a news flash. You ready? God always loves you. Always. His love for you never, ever, let's say it all together, ever, 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 ever changes. Never. But God is not always pleased with you.
Amen.
Now, some of you extreme gracers are like, what? No, that's the truth. Amen. It's common sense that some of the things we do is not pleasing to God.
That's true.
Now, he loves me.
Right.
He loves me no matter what. But he's not always happy with what I'm doing. And so David's saying here in this psalm, he's saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Be pleasing to you. One of the best ways to really keep our attitude in check is to remind ourselves what's coming out of here and what's going on in here, God knows about, and it's going to affect me. And sometimes when somebody's yakking about how awful somebody is and it's something that you have forgiven and you're trying to move past, the best thing you can do is turn around and say, I do not want to talk about that anymore. How many times have we let somebody unload garbage on us and then walked away feeling bad, thinking, man, what happened? I was having such a good day. Oh, yeah. You say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. You're hurting you. And you're letting them think you're dumping ground. You train people how to respond to you, how to talk to you, and how to treat you. Yeah. Let's retrain some people and say, listen, I'm not into that. Right. You know, there's a lot of things that people will not say to me, will not watch in front of me, and will not let me know that they do. You know why? Because they know I'm not going to like it.
Right.
That's just the truth. Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay. But we've got to train people. Listen, I don't want to talk about that. If somebody keeps bringing up your past, you need to look them square in the eye and say, that is washed clean from me. I am washed clean from that. I repented. I turned my back on it. I am forgiven. I am washed clean.
Amen.
Jesus forgave me. It's cast into the sea of forgiveness, and you need to do the same. You need to do the same. That is not part of me anymore. So we got to train people, because if we're not careful, we're going to let those end time ways start becoming our ways.
Yeah.
Amen? So no matter how powerful the power of God is, you can still have a bad attitude. And we got to be careful of that. And we got to be aware and say, I'm not going to let that end time stuff become part of me. I'm the salt of the earth. Yeah. I'm the remnant of the church.
Yes.
God's got a call on my life, and I can't listen to that. I can't be part of that. I can't think like that. You're better than that.
Amen?
Amen? Listen, you're better than a gossip dump. You're better than that. And we've got to train people. Amen? And so I want to just introduce to you just real quick what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks. Because now we know that it's our choice. That even when the power of God is there, it's still my choice. Because here's the thing that people must understand. God will not violate your choice. If you continue to choose death, you will die. Even though that is not the plan of God, it is not what God wants, but it is your choice. It's all about our choice. And so now that we know, I've got to be aware of the choices I'm making. Because those choices must line up with the will of God. I want to talk to you about that fresh air, that wind of the Spirit. You know, we are very comfortable, most of us in here, with the term Holy Spirit. Most of us are totally okay with that. We're even okay with Holy Ghost. We're like, Holy Ghost meeting? I'm there. Let's do it. Let's go. But there are some people that when they hear the term ghost in church, they're kind of like, what? What? What kind of, you know, if you brought a visitor, what kind of church you bring me to, you know? Holy Ghost, we're not as comfortable with that. Because if you haven't been in church for a long time and in this kind of church, when you hear the term ghost, what do you think of? Boo, right? You think of Casper, you think of woo, you think of dead people that have come back, which that does not happen. You know, when you're dead, you're in one of two places. End of story. And so when we hear the term ghost or even the term spirit, you know, sometimes we cannot be as comfortable. We're very comfortable with God our Father because we've heard the prayer, right? We've prayed to God. We've heard stories about God. You know, God gave his only begotten Son. We know that. He's our Father. We get that. We're comfortable with Jesus. We've seen the movie. We know what Jesus looks like, right? We've seen what he did. We've seen him on TV. We're totally okay. You know, I'm kidding. But we're very comfortable with Jesus because he's just such a huge part of everything we talk about and all the songs that we sing is Jesus. And so if you're not careful, you will stick with only what you're comfortable with. You're comfortable with God the Father, and you're comfortable with Jesus. But the thing is, many times when you do that, you sit in church pews, and there's a part of you is saying, I need more than this. I need more. There's a part of you that's saying, I'm trying to do all the right things. I'm trying to live clean. I'm trying to, you know, be holy. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying, but I can't seem to do it. Right? But you're very comfortable with God, you're very comfortable with Jesus, but you're saying, I need more. I need a little more. There is more. There is more. God is not a two-part being. The Bible tells us over and over, he's three parts. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so many times what we'll do is we're comfortable with God, we're comfortable with Jesus, and we'll stop there. But Jesus told his disciples in the New Testament, he told them it was better that he leave because when he left, then the Father would send the Comforter, who is the Spirit of God. And so what I want to do the next couple weeks is get you comfortable, more aware of, and open to the Spirit of God in your life. Because it's the Spirit of God that is the fresh air that's going to blow you out of that bad attitude. It's going to give you the power to choose right. Amen? It's the Spirit of God that is what you need. Because Jesus himself said, you need the Holy Ghost. But But because we're not comfortable with the Holy Ghost, because we're not comfortable with ghosts, which that's okay. We're not comfortable with spirit. We're not comfortable with things we don't understand. It's important that we get into the Word and find out who the Holy Spirit is and what His role is in my life, because He has one. And so I want you to turn over your Bibles. We're going to just give you two things here. Turn up in the front to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. And I'm going to teach you a Greek word and a Hebrew word. You guys ready? You can wow all your friends at lunch and speak Greek and Hebrew. Okay? One of the reasons why sometimes we're not comfortable with the Holy Spirit is because of the translation of the Bible. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we need to understand it. And so you may not realize, but the Old Testament, which is the first part of the Bible, that was written in Hebrew. It wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew. And it wasn't, one of the things you got to understand when you get saved, especially as an American, is that Jesus was not American. He wasn't American. Because sometimes we want to interpret everything based on our culture and our language. And the Bible is written in Hebrew in a Middle Eastern culture and environment, the Old Testament. And so the word that is translated into spirit, it's a Hebrew word, and here's what it is. You guys ready to speak some Hebrew? It's ruach. Because it's Jewish, you've got to say it. You've got to say it in that Hebrew way, right? How do Hebrews talk? That CH is always, ready? Right? Like you got something caught in the back of your throat. You got to say, ruach. Let's all do it together. Let's speak Hebrew. Ruach. Say it like you're like a little Jewish mom. Ruach. Right? Right? You got to say it like that. And here's the definition of that word. In every Bible dictionary, in every commentary, it's always defined the same. Always. Never changes. And here's what it is. You guys ready? It is a wind, breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. Just think about that for a second. So the word spirit is in the Bible is over 800 times. And every time it's this Hebrew word, ruach. That sounded pretty good, right? I did pretty good that time. So a wind, breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. Now let's read Genesis 1, 2, and let's read it with that definition. Because that word spirit that we got there underlined, that word in the Hebrew is ruach. It says, now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the wind and breath and violent exhalation, the blast of breath of God, was hovering over the waters. Ooh, doesn't that sound so good? Now then, let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament is written in Greek. How many are ready to learn some Greek? The New Testament word that is translated spirit and ghost, except for one time in the New Testament, it's translated wind, one time. And so here's what it's pneuma. Now it's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. Now it's not pneuma. Don't say pneuma, that's how I say it. It's pneuma, all right, pneuma. Here's the definition, a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. Ooh, don't you want that in your sails? Amen. Now, in Psalm 663, this word pneuma is there, and it says, the spirit, or the pneuma, we could say, a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And so when we see that in Psalm 663, it says, the spirit gives life. And then to keep going, it says, the flesh counts for nothing. It's that choice that we make. Will I choose life or will I stay in the flesh? Will I stay in what I can do with my own two hands, or will I allow that blast of air, that blast of fresh air to come in and blow me out of the doldrums? What will I choose? Or will I just keep paddling? You know, you can paddle all day. It's not going to get you where you want to go. Only the Spirit of God is going to get you where you want to go. And you know, and we see all the time, we see people who have lots of money, have lots of achievement, have their walls are covered in licenses or degrees or trophies or things like that, but yet they still are empty on the inside. Why? Because without God, none of that means anything. What does it say? It says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And it's great to have accomplishments. Those are awesome. But those without God, they're nothing. And so we got to make a choice to choose life, to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to come and blow in our lives. Because we need that fresh air. We need that fresh air. And so your homework for this week, you guys ready for homework? Get comfortable with the Holy Spirit. Now again, some people in here, we've been in a Holy Ghost church a long time. Some of you were raised in a Holy Ghost church. You're like, Holy Ghost? I got this. Yeah, I'm fine. You know, you're like, if people start running, you're like, let's run with them. Other people are like, what? You know, some of you come in here, you like, you know, you bring a visitor and you're like, please don't have a Holy Ghost meeting. Please don't have a Holy Ghost meeting. Please, you know. And you know, and I totally understand it because we're not comfortable with what we don't understand. We're not comfortable with what we can't go, hey, I'm going to give you 4 points to this, blah, blah. You know, we're more comfortable like that. And so this week, I just want you to just read through the Word. And whenever you see the Spirit of God, think of it as that wind, the breath of God. Think of it as that fresh air that you need. I grew up in a denominational church where they actually taught that praying in the Spirit was of the devil. I mean, it was taught from the pulpit. If you prayed in tongues, you couldn't go there. Andrea was telling me this morning, we were talking about how when she went to her church, a denominational church she grew up in, they found out that she prayed in the Spirit, kicked her out, removed her from leadership, and kicked her out. That's pretty crazy, right? And so the enemy, he is so focused on keeping you in just two parts of God. He's focused on keeping you in those two parts. But you got to say this week, I'm going to learn the third part. I'm going to be open to the third part. In the next couple weeks, we're just going to talk about who the Holy Ghost is and what he's here to do in our lives. He's our helper, our comforter. The Bible says he's called alongside to help me. You need that help. So if you've been sitting in church pew saying, man, I need help, the Holy Ghost is here to help you.
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are so thankful for your Word, that your Word, it just fills us with you. And we say thank you for it. Father, I pray for everybody in this room today. That, Lord, that you would help each one of us to grow more in our understanding and our openness to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, help us know who the Holy Spirit is and what he is here to do. And for those of us that maybe grew up or have had some negative experiences with crazy people or maybe wrong doctrine about the Holy Ghost, Lord, help us to overcome that and to move past that error into right teaching and right relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's our prayer. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have a plan for us and that you love us. And that more important than anything else, you've made a way for us to go to heaven. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed for a minute, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Peggy, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never opened up my heart and said, God, I want to give you all of me for all of you. All my hang-ups, my hurt, my mistakes, all of it. I want to give it all to you, and I want to trade it for forgiveness, for redemption, and restoration. If you're here today and you say, that's me, I need forgiveness. I need restoration. I need to know that I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you and nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that all of us here, that we know you and that we'll spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen. Remember your homework this week. Good morning, Holy Spirit. That's a good way to start. Just every morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to receive our offering. How many say, let's receive a big one, right? Yeah.